She always let me lick the beaters first. I grasped the spindly handle of the beater, top heavy with slick sand-colored dough, and brought it to my mouth as I might an ice cream cone. I grinned into each lick, the corners of my mouth widening into a smile and my tongue extending around each curved silver wire. Gritty brown sugar dissolving, the velvetiness of feather-light flour beaten into softened butter. Of all the taste I've stashed in my memory, that of my mother's chocolate chip cookies may linger longest. Like her, the flavor is assertive and distinct, as definitive as her Boston accent. I continued licking, noting her signature doubling of chocolate chips. She looked down and ran her fingers, rough as sandpaper from years of cleaning the homes of others, through the chaos of black curls sprouting on my head. And with her touch, I was somehow bothered, mostly by the disruption of such happy licking. I returned her gaze just in case she was considering taking that precious beater from my pudgy right palm, and I saw her own hair, wet and as ebony as mine, sneaking out from under a towel. Moments out of a nearly sterilizing hot shower, she was always trying to get four things done at once. When my eyes caught hers, she puckered her lips and leaned down to kiss me. She pulled back, lingering a moment to remind me, "Francie, I love you ever, ever over, even under dirty, filthy water." I never knew exactly what that phrase meant, not the name she called me, certainly not the rest. But I understood that this was her way of telling my brother and me we were her lifeblood. It was her unique way of saying, "I love you more than anything in this world." I smiled and returned my focus to that battered beater. "What else do we need for the potty?" she asked earnestly. She twirled around, assessing the platters, plates, and trays covering every last centimeter of tiled counter space. The table, unable to be set with linens or silverware because the food couldn't spare the space. The chairs, each with a suite on its seat. Stacks of plates, cloth napkins rolled and ringed with gold, coolers of cubed ice studded with cans of soda and beer. "Just cake," I said and squealed with delight. She always made birthdays a grand affair, with balloons and big, boisterous decorations. Never one without an 18-inch triple-layer cake from Daniel's Bakery, our then-favorite cake shop, an hour away. This year's party was no different, Mom reminded me. "Of course we've got cake, baby." The very thought of more sweets sweetened me. Still working my tongue through sugar meets butter pre-cookie, I looked around at the spread she'd prepared with me at her side. Deli platters sat coupled with their fluffy bakery rolls, meatballs stewed in marinara with links of spicy sausage bulging like pantyhose around an overflowing thigh. Trays of lasagna so piping hot the cheese blistered and the sauce bubbled beyond each pan's border. Freshly baked bread with 7 sticks of butter softening alongside. Bowls heaping with grated Parmesan cheese set beside soup spoons for sprinkling. The hors d'oeuvres, the homemade crackers cut into precise squares, chicken pate, a dip to plunge every chip in, were kept quarantined in the breezeway. And then the dessert. No fewer than 3 fruit pies, each a deep blue, mauve, or red staining her homemade all-butter pastry, 2 dozen of her thick-like fudge brownies, custard-filled mini eclairs from the New Paris Bakery in Brookline, those relentlessly chewy chocolate chip cookies, and that special layer cake. It seemed a reasonable buffet to serve 30 of our family members. Ever the beloved party thrower, Mom stayed true to her 3 trusted modes of catering: massive, more massive, and most massive. But we're a family of eaters, all of us, and eaters eat well. We like multiple options. We take comfort in knowing we can always cleanse our palates with deep dish apple pie before moving on to birthday cake. We think about parties first in terms of menu, followed closely by dessert buffets. I trace this obsession with abundance back to Mom's mom, a collector. She held on to used wrapping paper as tightly as she did grudges. She saved food, possessions, and incidentals. Her tendency to keep a well-stocked fridge and freezer packed with wartime-like rations years after all her 9 babies had left the nest was likely the result of a gene trickled down from an ever-starving Irish family. And my mother, the 2nd oldest of 9, is forever scared of scarcity. It's knitted into the fiber of her warm woolen soul to gather and provide for anyone who needs providing.